That is a very important song to play for a little bit longer than I usually do for our show today. Welcome to What's Ailing America and the World, because this on this show we're going to talk about our global situations. This is the Ultimate Reality Radio with information that can save your life. On the show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, especially where biological vaccine weapons are being sold to us as a health measure, when in fact it's much, much more dark, as you know, if you've talked to my or listened to my show on a regular basis. If you have not yet done so, I strongly suggest that you go to either of my websites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com or drcarly.com. Print out the four diagrams there. The first diagram is the cause of all disease on one piece of paper. And then you can listen to the lecture of me explaining the diagrams so that you will realize how simple it all is. You get sick because of a bunch of assaults on your immune system, with vaccines especially, but many other toxins as well. And the key to getting well is to detoxify yourself, and first and foremost, of course, to avoid these things as much as you are able. But if you're not aware of what you're being poisoned with, obviously you're not going to be able to avoid these things, such as aspartame, pesticides, fluoride, the list is endless, but especially the vaccinations. I strongly suggest that you tell others about this show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites, or you can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. To learn how I do consults, click on the Services tab on my reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com site. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, that you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. I take calls between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but if you have access to the toll-free number from the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, please contact me by phone instead of Skype. I'm trying to keep the Skype just for international clients and radio shows, and my Skype contacts box is just too huge. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you, to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. And if you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 800-313-9443. Please mute your phone while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference. And please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Appreciate the shows that are broadcast here. Today our show is going to be What's Ailing the World? Vaccine-induced genocide of Native peoples by their own health ministries. With my very special guest, investigative journalist Christina England from the UK. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our guest today is vaccine-induced genocide of Native peoples. And I'm so proud to have as my guest, once again, investigative journalist Christina England from the UK, who writes for a variety of different sites, but some of her most outstanding articles, in my opinion, are on VacTruth.com. You can go to VacTruth.com, just click on her name, Christina England, and read some of the amazing investigative work that she has done. And she just keeps raising the line as far as how important her articles are. She is one of, I think, the only journalists in the whole world, although some are being forced now to speak out to some degree, who has exposed what's going on in Chad, Africa, amongst the Taibu children, which are indigenous peoples, and this should be a very big red flag to you. I've talked before how the Aborigines and Australia, the native peoples in Canada and the U.S., they are especially targeted with vaccine bioweapons because, you see, they can actually do a DNA sequencing and find a way to specifically target these people. But what's going on in Chad, where a number of children were paralyzed after vaccines, and the government declared it's all in their head. So, Christina, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know you're doing a lot of shows and you're very busy, but I really want my listeners to hear from you. First of all, if you could explain, how did you find out about this in the first place, and how difficult was it for you to do your investigation?
It was very, very difficult to do the investigation because most of the papers that I was being given were in French, and I don't speak French. I had several people try to help me. Corinne Gauger, she tried to help me. She's a French lady that's working with some other people that I've worked with. And also Desiree Rover, which is a friend of yours. She also helped and has sort of had a look at the papers. The contact came in by accident. Obviously, like everybody else, I was unaware of what was going on. And I got an email suddenly from my profitable harm site where I work. And person came in and asked me to put the story up on the story board. He said that nobody else would touch the story or go near the story, and he wanted to get the story out, and I read it and I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on here? So I got back to him straight away and I said, you know, can you actually prove this? You know, to do anything further, I would need proof. And he sort of got a little bit suspicious. So I said, look, I'm actually Christina England. I run the site. I said, I'm one of a couple of people that run the site. I said, but it is mine. I said, and yes, I could put it on the storyboard, but I think it would really need to have a wider audience than profitable harm. I said, given that we only get sort of about 20 to 40 hits a day, it's not a very big site. It's just sort of an educational site, really. And so he said, well, I have heard of you, and I had been given your contact. I haven't been able to get hold of you. And I said, well, then fate's brought you to me. So I said, can you tell me more? What have you got? And he said, well, I've got pictures. I've got a newspaper that's in French. He said, the newspaper, I mean, his English is pretty poor anyway, because you've got to realise his English is his third language. So it's quite broken, his emails, and they've been quite hard to understand. But he gave me this front page of a newspaper and an inside story in the newspaper describing how 40 children had been paralysed. And if this number wasn't bad enough, it later materialised that actually 106 had been injured by the vaccine out of 500. So we're getting on to a quarter of the children that had the vaccine are paralysed or have been very, very ill indeed.
And if I could just interject, one of the most horrifying things as I was reading the documents you sent me is that the damage started to manifest itself the very day that some of these children got the vaccines. The parents reported this to the vaccinators, and they kept on going.
Oh, yes, that's true. I mean, a lot of the children started to vomit and have headaches within half an hour to, you know, the first 24 hours of the vaccine. So that's that day they were starting to get ill. I think we had one or two get ill within an hour, and then by sort of the end of the day, quite a few were ill. But the vaccinators kept on vaccinating and saying, well, there's not, you know, it's just coincidence, the children already ill. Same old. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the number was rising at a tremendous pace that the vaccinators literally packed up, turned on their heels and ran and left them all to it. They couldn't actually get a doctor to see any of these children for a first week. These children were in in a terrible state. They were vomiting, convulsing, really, really bad convulsions. And nobody was there to see them for a whole week because the only doctor that's in anywhere in the area is this one that serves the whole of that area. And he couldn't get to them. And I think, you know, it was an appalling situation. 38 children were then evacuated straight away to the main hospitals in the capital. I think the capital's called Dejima or something like that. I can't actually say the name. It starts with an N and ends apostrophe D, and then it's the capital of Chad. And they were separated into two hospitals. Most of the victims are girls. They were separated into two hospitals, and from there, seven, and this is an amazing story, this part, because seven were evacuated to Tunisia. But nobody knew about the evacuation. They had no visas. The parents didn't, nobody knew. The parents didn't know where they were going. The nursing staff didn't know where they were going. All they were told was to get ready. Seven children were going to go. Two parents were allowed to go and one nurse. Not even the nurse that was going knew where he was going. He just sort of got a message to my contacts and said, we've got to, we're going to somewhere, we don't know where we're going, we haven't any idea. The main airport in Chad, which is the biggest airport, was shut down to visitors, and a flight took off, and we believe it was a private plane. We haven't got the details of the flight. Somebody got hold of my contact, the nurse got hold of the contact, I believe through mobile, and said that we're off to Tunisia. We've just been given where we're going now. And that was on the plane. And that was the last we heard from the nurse for quite a while, because the mobile phone died on him or whatever. I don't exactly know the situation. He did get back in touch, but it wasn't for a day or so. Until they were sort of settled into the hospital, he managed to get out and make a private phone call outside to my contact, who's actually related to most of the injured parties, because it's a complicated situation for anybody outside the area to understand. But the little villages that are made up out these little communities that are made up are really sort of one particular family that goes out and out and out. You've got brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, you know, second cousins, third cousins. It's just how their communities work out there.
And let me just say, they truly live in like really third world conditions. I mean, basically in tents, although from a couple of photographs you sent me, they look like nice tents. But one of the most disturbing things that was in another article you sent me entitled "Who is Crazy? The Plight of the Taibu Children and the Chad Vaccination Case," which is written by Ecoterra International. It states on page 3 how the journalists were banned access to the patients' families and witnesses, and the state police were deployed at all the entry doors to enforce this. Now, this is a huge red flag. This is like a massive cover-up, obviously, that was in progress.
Yes, this is true. I've been working with Ecoterra. They're a human rights organization. They did literally the ABC of what actually happened. So they did it, a chronological timeline of exactly what happened and what was going on. And yes, this is absolutely right. The journalists and everybody were banned from the hospital. It's all being kept under wraps. To get any information out at all has been practically impossible. And this poor guy, I mean, he's obviously quite threatened, and you know, he's feels very, very frightened. Anything could happen to him. Because, of course, people out there can just disappear off the face of the earth and nobody ever knows what happened to them. I mean, that's how it is out there. And
well,
you know,
not just there. I mean, you know, whenever you start talking about vaccines, you always have a target on yourself. But, of course, as I said, the fact that the state police were involved, I mean, that says it all. And I strongly encourage people to access this article as well, by Ecoterra, which you can find on www.tolerance.ca. They do give you credit, Christina. They mentioned three of the articles that you wrote, and combining their information with your information. I mean, it takes a lot to shock me, but this was pretty an amazing discovery to see the lengths to which they've gone, not only to cover up what they've done, but also to continue the cover-up. And, of course, your contact, this is his family, so that's why, you know, he's highly motivated. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. Right back. Stay tuned, folks. And we're back, and we have to call today's show What's Ailing the World, because we're talking about the genocide occurring in Chad, Africa, at the behest of who, as I call him, the World Homicide Organization, who has obviously convinced the quote-unquote health ministry and government of Chad to use the Taibu people as experimental lab rats. And some of the amazing information in this eco-terror document includes the fact that the government and WHO staff collaborated with the school's headmaster, who locked the school's main door before vaccinating the children. The headmaster told the children that anyone who refused the vaccine would be banned from school and arrested. Then they went door to door and injected all the babies over 1 year. I mean, where's the concept of informed consent? And, of course, they've actually done that here in the United States. We had a case a couple of years ago where one of the attorney generals threatened children. I don't even remember what state it was in, but basically told parents they would be arrested if they didn't get their children vaccinated for school. These tyrannical policies are really getting out of hand, and that's why people have to be aware of that. And I also want to remind the listeners, Christine has been a guest on my show many times. She is also the one that uncovered 30-year-old documents that prove that they know that autism is actually subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. So the stuff she's finding is just amazing, and the whole world owes her a very big thank you for what she's doing, because this has to reach a tipping point at some place, Christina. I'm convinced that eventually people are going to get it.
Well, let's hope so. But this particular situation is totally appalling. These children went to school, and the head teacher was obviously colluding. Well, this is the information we have. The head teacher colluded with various organisations that were involved, including the WHO, the Gates Foundation, and various other big organisations. And he locked the door of the school and force vaccinated all the children in the school. And that's every single child was force vaccinated. And if they didn't agree to have the vaccine, then they were thrown out of the school and threatened with arresting. I mean, these are small children. These were children between the ages of 8 and 18. I think that's
okay, so wait a minute. Wait a minute. By definition, they don't even have the ability to give their consent. The parents were not contacted. Is that correct? They didn't know what was going on?
The parents didn't know at all. And then when they'd finished at the school, they then went around the village and they, in fact, force vaccinated every child from the age of one. So every child in the village was vaccinated. There were no exceptions, every child. So the child that they made up that's actually supposed to have not had the vaccine, that's a figment of their imagination. That was just to make them look good. That is what we've been told. That was our information. Now, I can't say for certain, but that is absolutely what I've been told, that every single child in the village was vaccinated. That's 500 of them. And this is what happened. This was a consequence of what happened. And 106 were made ill. These big organisations we're talking about, I mean, you've got them in your document that you've helped compile, showing what's been going on. We've got the CDC, FDA, we've got the Gates Foundation, Gavi, PATH, MVP. Now, the MVP is the meningitis vaccine project, which is sort of the head of it all. And these organisations were paying money into the MVP to do this. And the Gates Foundation was behind the manufacturing of the vaccine. That's the information we've got. That's the information we've been given. These papers that we've been given. The WHO is involved, UNICEF, MSF, that's Medicines and San Frontier, That's a French organisation. The vaccine manufacturer have different, they seem to have different guidelines to what the actual vaccinators were saying. So we had the manufacturers and then we have all the other organisations saying completely opposite information. The manufacturers saying that the vaccine cannot go over the temperature of 2 to 8 degrees centigrade, and the dilutant could go up to 25 degrees centigrade, whereas all these other organisations were they were all saying that it could go up to 40 and it could cross over the cold chain. Now, when I went into this in deeper sort of, you know, research, I found that in fact there was a paper which is on quite a few of my articles on this paper that actually said that when these children were vaccinated, this vaccine wasn't, it was still pre-licensed, it was still in the pre-licensing stage to go across the cold chain, to go across the cold temperature chain. So therefore, the vaccine couldn't be kept. It wasn't advisable to keep the vaccine up to these high temperatures. And then we found them on other documents.
Please let me comment on that. Because, you see, in my opinion, that's a distraction. If you remember here in the States, they were claiming that pediatricians were not properly storing vaccinations at the right temperature, and they used that as an excuse as to why children were coming down with all the diseases they were being vaccinated with, not against. I always correct people. They're being inoculated with the disease, okay? So the temperature issue is one thing. And who knows what happens when the witches is brought up to almost boiling temperature. But the fact is, and we're back, Dr. Carly speaking with Christina England, investigative journalist par extraordinaire from the UK. And I just want to also say before the break, Christina, you had mentioned about the vaccine being pre-licensed. One of the most amazing things I found in some of the medical records you had sent me was that they would write MAPI on the medical records. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck does that mean? And I found the answer to that in the Who is Crazy document from Ecoterra International. And this is such a red flag. I hope everybody gets this, that basically what this MAPI stands for, which proves that these children were being experimented on, is that it stands for the MAPI Research Trust, a public-private sponsored entity engaged in pharma epidemiological research. So this MAPI that was on the medical records, this is not a diagnosis. They were basically documenting on the records that these children were part of an experiment. And, you know, this is a crime against humanity. These children, nor their parents, volunteered to be lab rats, and especially with all of the side effects that they incurred and the, you know, continuing of the project in face of the ever-increasing evidence of the massive damage to these children. As I wrote in the document I sent you, in my opinion, this is treason. The government minions of Chad, who offered up the children as experimental test subjects, have committed treason against the people of Chad. The penalty for treason is death. Now, I know that the minister who was saying how the children, it was all in their head, which is mind-boggling to begin with. How do you teach a child to pretend he's paralyzed? How do you teach a child to have a very high increase in their body temperature and start having convulsions? I mean, this is so outrageous, you know, and I think that's the reason that they conducted this experiment, you know, basically out in the, you know, outer lands of Chad, because they know that the people, they're living in huts and tents. How are they going to organize and actually rise up and do something about this?
This is it. They can't do anything about it. I mean, we're only working from documents, and our documents that we're being given are mostly French, as you've seen. But we have been getting translations. I mean, I had to giggle over one of the comments that was on an article. It wasn't the article on Back Truth. It was an article that went out without further, because this article seems to have gone out further and further and further and further. It's just about every site I can see has got this article.
Oh, yeah, and I'm doing everything I can to make it keep going, because everybody has to know about this. Go ahead.
And, one of the comments said on it, Gates couldn't fix viruses on Windows, so what the hell? Why the hell should he be able to fix any viruses in Africa? And I had to giggle over that one because, yeah, it's absolutely true. How can he possibly fix, children's problems in Africa? You know, he's saying that his latest thing is that he's going to cure polio because he's going to vaccinate every single child in the population with the polio vaccination. This is going to cure polio completely.
I have to comment. And we've seen what happened in India. I forget how many thousands of children are now paralyzed after getting the oral polio vaccine. And there's also that amazing article, I forget where it was published, I have so many documents in front of me, where Bill Gates actually claims he's doing the work of God. You know, he's got all the money he needs, and so now his goal is to erase these diseases, when in fact we know that him and his father are eugenicists, and they're all about population reduction. This has nothing to do with eradicating disease.
Well, no, it would seem not. These children have been very badly damaged, and nobody's caring. They're now thinking of even though the children are still having fits, very, very severe convulsions. And I mean, when they're convulsing, and I've seen pictures, I've also had these convulsions explained to me by my contact, where these children go completely stiff from head to toe, and their eyes are fixed and there's no reaction at all, and that the convulsions can last all night, some of these convulsions that they're having. They're so bad. And one little girl had to have, I mean, she was 8, bless her, and she had to have 4 people hold her down in one of her terrible convulsions in the hospital. And they're now going to discharge all these children, send them all home, back to their little village in Chad, and let them all get on with it, and on, you know, business as usual for everybody else, you know, get on with it, get on with the vaccinations, and let's forget the Chad that ever existed. And of course, I'm not very popular anywhere at the moment.
I'm not popular either, but you are a hero to humanity. And I have to comment on this idea of having 4 adults basically sit on a child that's having a convulsion. That can cause such severe damage to the child. That's going to cause a massive increase in body temperature, as the child doesn't even realize what the child's doing, but it's the body wants to convulse. You know, there's an electrical storm happening in the brain, and sitting on the child to try to hold the child down is only harming the child further. One of the amazing things I saw in the documents you sent me, the medical records, is that one of the child with seizures was being given an antipsychotic. Now, this is insane. Not to mention the fact the child's not psychotic, the child has a vaccine injury, but one of the side effects of this antipsychotic called Thorazine is seizures. So they're giving an antipsychotic wrongly to a child with vaccine injury, and one of the side effects of the antipsychotics is seizures. I mean, this is medical malpractice, I mean, beyond comprehension. And obviously, they're not doing a darn thing for these children. In the record you sent me, only one of them has mention of some kind of a irregular antibody. But, of course, no mention of what that irregular antibody is. You know, you have to know, is it an anti-myelin antibody? What the heck is it? And, you know, they apparently just did that on a few children. Although, you know, they could have done it on most of the children and just not put it in the records. Because, obviously, this is an experiment.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, it is some kind of experiment. These children are very sick indeed. And not lots being done for them. I mean, it's being called mass hysteria. I mean, we've We've got video. We had a video sent over from Chad. It was of the Chad TV station. Everything is being kept very undercover. The newspaper, the only newspaper that was really, really sending out big stories on what happened was Le Vox, and Le Vox is not an online newspaper. It's a small newspaper that's published in Chad in some of the little villages, I believe. And I have been, you know, brought over the coals for this because I've shown this newspaper and everybody's saying, oh, it's not existed. I mean, I've been accused of making it all up for attention. Same old saying, you know, Bunchausen by journalism now it is. But I've made it all up. I'm getting enormous amounts of money from Jeff, from the site. What money, I don't know, but I'm being paid an enormous amount of money to do this, to gain hits for his site. All the adverts are getting us huge amounts of money, and we're sharing it all between us and having a good time and having huge parties. Well, this is not true. I mean, I'd have to be some journalist to make up a newspaper, have it published, have it printed in another language that I don't even understand or know much about, and then make a film of the Chad Prime Minister visiting the sick children, which was an impromptu visit and only happened after my article went out on my ad. A couple of days later, the Chad Prime Minister comes to the hospital. I'm supposed to have filmed all this, then dubbed it all in French, and put it out on the internet. I mean, how stupid can you get? But this is how stupid that they think I'm some whiz kid. I don't know what it is, but you have to laugh at the mentality of these people. You know, as if I could do all that. You know, I haven't, my qualifications wouldn't allow me to anyway. And
okay, wait a minute. Okay, you know what the game is, okay?
Yeah.
We've been working together for years, and we both know what happens to people that speak out against vaccines. Now, interestingly, I'm trying to look for the name of this health minion who was saying the children were basically, you know, it was all in their head, mysteriously resigned. Okay, the head of the Ministry for Public Health in Chad, Minister Mammoth Nabur Nangawari, whatever, basically, after he made a fool of himself, the first guy was Emmanuel Nattinger. After he made a fool of himself, he was gone, and then they brought in this other guy. So how did you arrange that? I mean, the whole thing, you know, anybody that has eyes to see, Christina, they're going to see what's going on. And, you know, the bottom line is that this pharmaceutical cartel using vaccines to cause depopulation and create disease are so powerful because, as you said, they're affiliated with all these other organizations. We're already starting to get callers, but I just wanted to mention that Christina mentioned some of the organizations involved with the Men Afri Back Vaccination Project in Chad. I want to encourage all of you to put into your search engine a dragon by the tail, and you will find a very important article from ByronChild.com written by Lisa Reagan in 2005, the best expose I've ever seen in terms of the collusion and incestuous relationship between all these vaccine-promoting organizations. They all pretend that they're doing independent research, but in fact, they use each other's corrupt research, you know, to back each other up. And when you look at it in the big picture sense, it's self-evident that it's all fraud. It's all fraud, and of course, Bill Gates is highly involved. And I just want to remind the listeners, I didn't get a chance to check before the show, but here in the States, Bill Gates, owner of Microsoft, actually was sued by the Department of Justice for a quote-unquote monopoly of software some years ago, and it was quite amazing how that case disappeared. And then all of a sudden, he formed the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and he started spending billions to promote vaccines. So it's obvious to me that they kind of used that as an extortion tool against him. Look, you're going to be in court for years. We're going to fine you millions or billions of dollars. But if you start killing children throughout the world and donate your money to vaccines, we'll just drop the whole thing. So it's very obvious to me that that's what's going on with Gates.
Yes, yeah, so some very funny things have been happening since I put the original article out. The Prime Minister of Chad, he resigned. And that was the first odd thing that happened. And then a few days later, we had word, this is myself and Ikatera, the human rights organization, had word that the health minister had been sacked. This all seems to appear to be over my one article. And it's literally made waves. It's rippled out and out and out and out. And this is what they wanted to hide up and cover up is now all over the internet, and they don't know what to do. Basically, they're still trying to cover it all up. They're still trying to hide it all away and, you know, send these children home. And what? What will they send them home to? Parents that can't cope. They've got no fresh water. They've got no facilities there for severely disabled children. These children, we don't know if they're ever going to be right again, if they're ever going to not be paralysed. And these children are paralysed. They've got no wheelchairs, they've got no equipment, they've got no money, they've got nothing, no medication. There is nothing they can do for these children. So these children are literally going to wither and die. That's all I can see for them. And that's a huge thing to say, but this is it. And that,
no, it's the truth. This is truth. And I also have to say, they're eating dirt. Okay? These people eat dirt cakes. Okay? And I want to also mention, very interestingly, in the EcoTerra article, they talk about one of the areas involved with the Taibu people is Darfur. Now, we've all heard about the alleged, you know, mass killings in Darfur, and that's all over the mainstream media. Funny how we're not hearing about this genocide, which is done with a needle instead of some other technique, guns, bayonets, or whatever the case may be. So, no, you've started a tidal wave, and I'm so proud of you for what you've done. And last thing before I start bringing on callers, I just want to mention, in terms of the medical records being self-evident proof that this is an experiment, because the doctors who evaluated the children wrote on their MAPI, and I said what that means, okay? I also have before me, and this was a miracle that I got a hold of this, some medical records from a soldier, and let me just say, the records for the soldiers that were involved in Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and Desert Saber, almost all of those records were destroyed in the Oklahoma bombing. How convenient is that? But by a miracle, I got a copy of one soldier's records, and it's the same thing. The doctor has written that the soldier participated in Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Desert Saber. So Desert Shield is involving Vax. Desert Storm is involving oil fires. Desert Saber is involved in blowing up the Kamaishi bunker, which had biological weapons, sold to Iraq by the United States. Some soldiers actually took a video of this, and you can see Made in the USA right on there. But it's the same thing. They documented this on the medical records, and then they wrote down how sick this veteran was. And then at the end, it's just sickening. They say they sent him a letter of appreciation. But as I said, if you have eyes to see, you know that they're writing this up as an experiment. They're admitting they're experimenting on the veterans, and then on the soldiers, and then the veterans come home, they go to the VA hospital, and then they just document what their experiment has done to these men. Same thing with the children in Chad. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. When we come back, we'll start bringing on some callers. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America and the World. And I just want to say, folks, I hope you're getting outraged because, of course, these same things are happening here in the States as well. They're using especially foster children as experimental lab rats with not just vaccines but psychiatric drugs and all kinds of other things. And it's time for the people to stand up and say they're not going to take it anymore. Because, obviously, all of the quote-unquote government agencies, which we fund, are involved in this, and that is disgusting. Okay, let me bring on some callers. We have Chris from California. Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I'm here, doctor. How are you?
I'm living in hell. How are you?
Yeah, we all are, if we allow it. Now, dear, I want to really applaud you and your friend, lady friend. You are two very brave ladies with a lot of knowledge, and I love you both very much. And the problem is men are just sitting back. Now, let's get to the Gates thing. This pig of a man, Gates Sr., is only riding on the fortune and coattails of his son, who struck it rich in the software computer business years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of man is this man? This man believes, you can have all the money in the world, but what you need next, as the devil directs you, money's never enough. So now it's power.
He's a psychopath. You see, he's part of the depopulation group, which encourages.
Exactly. He wants to call. Wants to cull the pops down. He wants to cull the populations down according to what he thinks is well. According to what he thinks is right. Who elected this pig of a man, Gates Sr., or his son for that matter? Why do these people get off like, it's like actors and actresses that think that they have a beeline into organized thought or a political measure. They don't. Nobody asked for them. Nobody elected them. But, of course, they're going to vent their views. And it's guess what? It's always to the demise and disadvantage of those who elected the wrong people. Now, forget elections. That's out the window. You're not going to get an election. You're not going to get a free, safe, honest election from here on out. It's all fixed. It's all fixed. But my point is, and I love you guys for really exposing this, keep on doing the good work that you do. Perhaps people will just, I would tell people, I would even tell people that like to watch sports. They already know how to play the game of whatever sport they're viewing. Turn the sound off. Listen to Dr. Rebecca. Listen to John Statmiller. Listen to anybody, pipe in the audio that is going to give you some good
information
that just came through. Absolutely. But anyway, dear heart, thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing, and I'm in total agreement. And it's wonderful. Until they take the internet away from us, we are free agents, and we can sit and learn from the likes of you and others. And we do so much appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much, Chris.
Everything well, and you. You already know what's going on, sister, so you just keep it up, okay? And Lord willing, we can get our country, our freedom, back. But for them to undermine our whole ability to live via the medical industry and Obamacare, this is a travesty. Anyway.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wait, hold on, Chris, if you have anything else to say, because we're going to a break. We'll be right back. And I think need the men to help us stop. Right back.